Well, now the story behind the story of hip replacements. More than 370,000 Americans have them every year. They can be a life-changing cure for crippling and painful arthritis. But in the 1970s, a medical complication arose that threatened the future of the procedure. Dr. Bill Harris, who was the chief of joint replacement surgery at Massachusetts General Hospital in Boston for 30 years, tried to find out what was going wrong. He's 90 now and author of the new book, Vanishing Bone. Carrie Goldberg from member station WBUR shares his story of medical detective work.
The year was 1974. Surgeons had been performing total hip replacements for more than a decade.
Total hip replacement is an absolutely magnificent operation, and we were able to do remarkable things to restore mobility and relief of pain and the joy of life.
Dr. Bill Harris was sent a mystifying patient, a prominent lawyer from San Francisco whose hip replacement had worked, but now something was going badly awry.
I had never seen anything like this before. The bone around his prosthesis, around his total hip, had been completely destroyed. It was just astonishing. And I thought it had to be cancer.
But under the microscope, there was no cancer, no recognizable disease of any kind. It was something stranger. The area was swarming with immune cells that clear away debris. They were stimulating production of another kind of cell called an osteoclast, which means bone eater.
And it was actively and aggressively eating the bone.
Harris and his colleagues were baffled.
What in the world is this disease, and how does it come about? Why is it there?
Before long, this bone-eating disease struck thousands of patients, and then hundreds of thousands. The longer people had their replacement hips, the more chance their bones would vanish. Sometimes their bones became so weak, just walking could make them snap. By 1990, this disease, called periprosthetic osteolysis, was the number one cause of total hip replacement surgery failure. As Bill Harris and his colleagues became medical detectives, they focused first on the glue that attaches the artificial hip joint to the patient's own bone. It's called bone cement. Maybe tiny bits of bone cement were causing the bone-eating cells to go on the attack. So Harris and others devised techniques to replace hips without using the bone cement, and they figured they'd solve the problem.
Only to find, when I reviewed my first 100 cases of my own design of a cementless total hip replacement, bingo, the very same disease.
Bad news, but they were on the trail. They realized that the problem wasn't just the glue. Tiny particles of plastic from the artificial hip joint itself were causing the bone to vanish. But why? When Harris and his team examined replacement hips that patients had bequeathed to the lab after their death, they found a major clue.
We found that the actual process of walking had modified the polyethylene.
The hips were made of a special polyethylene plastic. Its molecules are extraordinarily long and narrow. In their usual state, the molecules have no organization. But in the hips of these deceased patients, it looked different.
We found that all of the strands of the polyethylene were lined up in a row. The polyethylene molecules had been changed in their position. They'd been modified by the fact that gait simply goes back and forth and forth and back, and that lines them up.
So the process of walking was restructuring the plastic in a way that made it wear down. And as it wore down, it released those particles that were causing the problem. Dr. Harris turned to his friend Ed Merrill, a professor of polymer chemistry emeritus at MIT. Merrill suggested a process called cross-linking. It connects one strand of the polymer to the next and makes the material more resilient. The team found a way to use an electron beam to cross-link the hip joint plastic. Then they tested the material in a special machine, a hip simulator that had taken them 3 years to perfect.
We could detect nowhere at all, zero wear. We thought it might reduce wear, it might make it better. It made it almost perfect.
Finally, in 1998, the first patient got a hip made of the new, more resilient polyethylene plastic.
And there are probably now 7 million people around the world walking on this material in total hips and in total knees. The disease is virtually gone.
Dr. Harris says the story illustrates how contemporary medical science works, the complexity involved, the collaboration it takes, the persistence it requires. The story also reflects how treating patients can provide extra motivation for doctors to do their own research.
I loved taking care of patients, and I loved going to the operating room. But I also hate failure. And my own failures in the operating room would lead me to say, let's take this failure up to the laboratory and see if we can't unscramble it, unlock it, and find a way to do it better.
At age 90, Bill Harris hasn't needed that better way himself. He's still walking on his own original hips. For Here and Now, I'm Carrie Goldberg.